Blog Talk Radio.
The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet in the air. The third. No parachutes yet.
I can't tell just yet what they are, but...
Oh, my God, they're talking! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of my eyes! Oh, I just went to the windshield of a parked car! This is terrible. They're probably running around pushing each other. Oh, my goodness! Oh, the humanity! Oh, people are running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this any longer.
Children are searching for their mothers, and, oh, not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this. I don't know how much longer I can hold my position here, Johnny. The crowd...
Lass, are you there? Lass isn't there. Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Lass. Just tuned in, the Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkeys. Film at 11.
Well, are you okay?
I don't know. A man and his two children tried to kill me. After the turkeys hit the pavement, the crowd kind of scattered, but some of them tried to attack me. I had to jam myself into a phone booth. Then Mr. Carlson had the helicopter land in the middle of the parking lot. I guess he thought he could save the day by turning the rest of the turkeys loose. It's pretty strange after that.
Oh,
yeah, right.
No, Les, come on now, tell us the rest.
I really don't know how to describe it. It was like the turkeys mounted a counterattack. It was almost as if they were organized. As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm doing okay. And we have our other co-host, Katrina, on the line. What's going on, Katrina?
Oh, you remember my name now? You don't even put my name in the description. You say, and co-host?
What?
You
oh, fuck. I thought I had
OTT,
put you on
Ed and his co-host return.
Oh. Huh, I just realized that.
I got a name.
It's a weird name.
Well, I came free with my birth. I didn't have no say over it.
Got you there.
Okay, well, I apologize for that. I didn't realize I left your names out. I was a little high when I was writing that. But, I'm glad Craig could join us because I wasn't sure if Craig was going to be able to or if he was out beating up people in Seattle trying to get a 70-inch TV screen or something.
No, not today. Unfortunately, it's been so busy at work, I got called in today. So I did not go consumer stomping today.
And you're also lucky because you have a job, which I guess you don't have to deal with customers, so at least you didn't have to deal with that, like all the other people who work at the mall. Like, I'm sure, Jakey, who works at the mall, was getting killed, and everyone else. Yeah. Do you guys watch the videos that always pop up of everyone going crazy and fucking fighting everywhere across the country?
That's right. Oh, yeah. My cousin and a group of and some of her friends had T-shirts made that said Black Friday, get the hell out of my way.
Wow. And you, Craig, you enjoy the videos, I imagine?
Oh, yeah. I always find it highly entertaining when I see a mother for ripping a product item out of a young child's hand just because they grabbed the last one. That's my favorite.
There was one video where, like, there was the, I guess, opened up a pile and it was a box, and it wasn't that big of a box, but people had a box and they were fighting to get more of these boxes and stuff, and it was pretty crazy. But luckily, I live in a city that actually knows how to do Black Friday, and I don't think I've ever seen anybody or any videos or anything of anybody here getting into fights or just going absolutely batshit crazy like they do in some places. So the Mexicans have it under control. It's you crazy white people that got to screw everything up.
I just always plan to have a very good job, so I never partake in that.
That's a good plan.
As long as I got Amazon, I'm fine. So
you didn't go
right.
out today, Couture, to go shopping?
But no. Jesus Christ.
Did you buy anything on the internet?
No.
What about you, Craig? You buy anything at all, like on the internet, even if you didn't go out and work?
No. Thursday, before Thanksgiving dinner, I did happen to buy about 5 items. So yeah.
And were any of these for your family, or are they all just personal Craig items?
Oh.
Or items that you can give to your son, but they're actually for Craig?
Yeah, there were some of those, I'm not going to lie, and a couple things for my wife. So, yeah.
I'm going to have to move to the movie theater this year, so I don't have to deal with anything like shopping. I'm going to go see Star Wars, so,
If you don't already have your ticket, it's going to be crazier than Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. I'm fine. Well, I'm not going to be able to go see it until, like, after Christmas, so I'm not worried about it right now.
Yeah, I'm hopefully some of these assholes don't totally ruin it on fucking social media, because I'm sure there's no way I'm going to be able to...
That's what's going to fuck me up. It's easy to avoid shit, like, now, because nothing's hell but trailers and stuff. But
yep.
Still. And the only person that's seen it has died, so,
Yeah, that was kind of a trip story. But unlike you two guys, I actually did make a few Black Friday purchases. I don't know if you know this, but Popeye's Fried Chicken had 10 tender strips for $5. So I had to go get me some Popeye's, some
uh-huh.
potatoes.
Uh-huh.
And then
Popeye's pretty dang
I got
awesome.
Home. And I was nice. I even bought some for my mom so she could take home with her and her boyfriend. So, and then I also, this morning, when I got home and from the paper route, I got high and I opened up my email, and there was an email from WWE talking about this big fucking Black Friday sale at the shop. So I just decided to click on it and see exactly what they were selling. And the biggest value was the Brock Lesnar shirts that actually had city names. They were discounted like $20. They were they were all like $5, but they were all, Oklahoma City or San Jose or shit like that. And a whole lot of other stuff. Anyway, so I'm scrolling down, and by this point I'm pretty stoned, and I came across the Vaudevillains memorial plaque thing from the NXT TakeOver featuring one Blue Pants, who made her return to NXT this past week. Once again, the dirt sheets are wrong about fucking everything. But it was discounted $10. So it was from $29.99. It was $19.99. And then I entered the code. So then it came out to $14.99, with shipping being $6. But if you spent $15, shipping was free. So I decided to add a bottle of Jim Ross barbecue sauce. And with that discount, it came out even cheaper. So basically, I got the free shipping, and it was like a total of like $18. So I made out like a bandit on WWE.com.
But nothing for anybody else.
I told you I bought my mom some chicken tenders.
I stand corrected.
Man, people can't be greedy.
Yeah.
They can be happy with what they get.
Sure.
And I was happy with what I was getting, so. That's the main thing.
Didn't Popeye's be seafood?
What's that?
I've seen Popeyes be seafood.
I never you would think, huh?
Yeah. I know they got Popeyes, they got like shrimp and shit.
No, they have like shrimp and then shrimp poor boys and fish, fried fish and fish at poor boy. And then they always have like, they had like garlic shrimp like last month. I don't know what it is this month. But they always have some kind of seafood, but it's just, it's not like all seafood. And you would think it would be hamburgers, too. You think it would be hamburgers, because, you know, the main thing food they talked about on Popeyes anyway was hamburgers.
It's true, but that was mostly Wimpy.
Anybody been on the network watching all this World Championship Wrestling they posted?
I haven't seen a lot of it, but I went and I watched the, well, I didn't, you know, finish it. I only watched like the first 30 minutes of it. But the very first, the earliest one, the one that would be on the very bottom when you're like looking at the shows, and it featured, the first match was Sam Houston versus Tom Zane. And there's a future trivia note regarding those two. What is it, Couture?
His name is Tony Zane and not Tom?
Oh, yeah, Tony Zane. I'm sorry. My mistake. But what's the connection between those two guys?
They played the James Boys.
Very good. I would ask Craig, but he wouldn't have no idea what the hell I was talking about.
I'm still lost, to be honest with you.
Well, you'll get to learn, because hopefully they'll add more. I hate how they fucking do this shit that's all sporadic. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because all that shit back then built. Like, same thing with the World Class. That's what they screwed up on the World Class. But they did put a whole shitload of it, so hopefully that means they're going to put a whole shitload more and they'll eventually get everything in order. But, I only had time to watch like half an hour, but I highly enjoyed that half hour.
Everybody should go check out the, I noticed yesterday I was looking at some episodes that, like, picking out some episodes and go to the 12/28/1985 episode, and they have, like, Flair versus Garvin, like a four-star world title match. They just beat the shit out of each other on the thing.
I think that's the one I was talking about, though. I think that was one of the matches.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the July 4th, 1987 episode where JJ trains for the War Games and he does a match and does all the horsemen and finishers. So.
Yeah, there's some good shit. I hope they can go back and put some fucking Georgia on there. That'd be awesome to see some Tommy Rich and Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer and Mass Superstar and shit like that. That'd be cool. They should have it, hopefully.
Got it somewhere. They sure don't promote this shit. Because I didn't know about it. They sure didn't tell me that they were putting this stuff up.
The only reason I know about it is because basically, you know, the fucking dirt sheets. You know, and
I saw it on
you
the
know,
board,
Dave,
yeah.
Or yeah, the board, or just the websites. But yeah, you never hear from WWE. I haven't got an email telling me about that.
I watch this shit, and it shows you how shitty everything is today.
Yeah, have you seen any of it, Craig?
Not much, no.
Huh. Are you planning on watching any of it?
Some of the people on the board, like, they'd never seen this stuff before. They'd be, like, bored out of their minds watching with all these squash matches. I guess you had to be there when it happened to appreciate it.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, I mean, just because they call everyone on Raw superstars, there's a shitload of fucking squash matches on Raw. I just saw the Dudleys get squashed. You know what I mean?
Boy, except the stars on these World Championship Wrestlings don't ever lose. Which is why they're stars.
Yeah.
You never see them locally. I mean, that's why they became big stars.
You know,
I see everybody
on
WWE roster get pinned at least once a month on TV. So.
Yeah. I can't believe people watch a headlock for like a minute or two and get bored. It's like.
I love these fucking squash matches, man. I watch these for days. Fucking David Crockett.
Yeah.
He's been annoying as hell, but I liked him.
Oh, David Crockett's awesome. He's Tony cared back then. He was all excited.
Yeah.
And all these cutting interviews.
Fucking promos,
you know,
blow away anything today. You know?
Yeah, that's another thing is they'd have fucking, you know, squash matches and you'd get like 40 interviews, but they'd be like two, three minutes to the point, but guys just, you know, cutting a promo that's, you know, makes sense and it's like making you want to watch them kick somebody's ass or get irritated instead of just sitting there for 20 minutes, you know, of them just talking the same thing over and over again, you know. That's the best part is really all the interviews and stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody on the board said that they were bored because they were plugging all these house show matches that you don't see. So what the hell? Do you fucking think they made money back then? I mean, you know, they didn't have pay per views every month and shit like that. So
see, he'd have a different opinion if they had like earlier stuff and you'd get those fucking Omni commercials because they made it sound like the Omni was bigger than freaking Madison Square Garden at the time.
My mom would never take me to the Omni. Of course, I lived in Mississippi, so that's probably why. I was very angry because they always plugged the Omni. They plug a bunch of other places, too. Player B out there telling where the hotel so the rats could show up, you know. So. He had a good gimmick, man. He'd go in there and say he went to the Marriott in Baltimore, and, you know, that's what, so all the women would show up there. Yeah. That was a hell of a gimmick.
That first episode I watched, you know how they only had the stands on two sides, and there was only, like, what, five rows back then? And on this first episode, there's, like, fucking 10 or 12 hot chicks in this audience. They seem so out of place. It was like, what the fuck? I guess Flair must have brought a bunch of rats. I guess he was wrestling Ronnie Garvin, so he wanted to have a bunch of rats for after the show to help ease his pain.
Yeah, those guys on the board drive me batty sometimes because, you know, we've been reviewing the old Nitros and Raws and whatnot, and we said something about Juventud a couple weeks ago, and in my opinion, the guy can't work. He works great in Mexico, but you put him in there with American style and he doesn't know how to work. And by the way, this is three guys sitting around talking who have all been trained and been in the ring and know what working is. And these guys are saying, these guys don't know what they're talking about. I can't believe this is where we're at now and blah, 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 blah. It's like, shut up, dude. You don't know what you're talking about. And those guys, they go on there and they complain, they piss and moan about this stuff's boring. Those guys in the NWA days knew how to work. Even the jobbers knew how to work.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you sit and watch them, you might learn something. So sit down, shut up, and watch.
To me, sometimes, you know, I watch those, thinking back to those squash matches, see, sometimes, I mean, with certain guys, like, okay, the Road Warriors, get in there and kill dudes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nikita, get in there and kill this. But sometimes it would be, like, unrealistic that nobody could get any offense at all, but these jobbers would get a little bit of offense, like, in the beginning to make for, like, a good, like, 5-7 minute match, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is a little bit more believable. They could at least get a little bit of something in instead of just getting destroyed.
The babyface always got in. The heel would go for the backdrop. The babyface would kick him. He'd get a couple punches. He'd throw him into the corner. He'd go in, get some more punches. He'd go to the other corner. The other guy would get the foot, the boot cut off, and then back to the squash.
Plus, you could hear everything in that little studio. I remember watching those Midnight Express matches where Bobby Eaton would take the opponent over to the podium and say hello to your mom, and then he'd punch him in the nose or something. You know? And you get to hear Cornette do commentary on a 10-minute squash match, Midnight Express.
And just David Crockett being outraged and disgusted. I loved him and Tony. They're one of my favorite teams, actually. That's one thing I'm excited for seeing about this whole stuff. But, like, you're talking about the jobbers who you know how to work. Like, I mentioned the first one I saw, Tony Zane. I mean, he was just a fat dude, but he could work better than that at the roster. And then you had guys like fucking Bob Cook. Like, Bob Cook was an awesome worker. Oh, God, why can't I think of his name? The guy with the mullet?
Which one?
The
you're gonna have to narrow it down.
Mullet. Come on, he wrestled everywhere. He was like one of the main George South.
George South, yeah, I remember him and the Italian Stallion.
Italian Stallion.
Mike. Who was the Alabama Junior Heavyweight Champion?
Mike
Jackson. He was always on there. The Mulkey.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, the Mulkey's great, didn't work, but the Mulkey's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, all of my biggest memories from WCW or Georgia was shit with the jobbers. Like,
yeah.
Like I remember Tommy Rogers being a jobber, and they were doing that challenge with Kabuki where they give you Kabuki's candlestick, and you get three tries to hit him, and Kabuki had some kind of Bruce Lee glove, and he would block everything, and they had Tommy Rogers, and he blocked Tommy Rogers a couple times, and then he turned to Gary Hart and shrugged, and Tommy Rogers hit him in the back and won the contest, but then got killed. I remember when Pistol Pez Wally was just above a jobber and was going to wrestle fucking the Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer, and the Junkyard Dog just made a surprise appearance and got in Wally's face and fired him up and slapped him, and Wally went out there and fucking beat fucking the Mad Dog. I remember Tim Warner.
I just watched it the other day on my channel. It's up there in that Georgia section.
I remember Tim Horner doing the row, the back, what do you call it, when you push the guy into the ropes and then you roll and then you bridge. And he did
reverse roll up into a bridge.
Yeah, and he beat fucking Hawk with that.
Yeah.
I remember Sam Houston against fucking Ric Flair, and Ric Flair made him in 20 minutes, and they had everybody coming out to cheer him on, all the main guys, because this kid put up this big fight with fucking Ric Flair. I mean, that's all the shit I really remember, was all the shit with the jobbers and shit.
Yeah. Now we have the stuff today, which is horrible, to be quite frank. And Dave, I'm never really mad about stuff like in wrestling on shows, but I just that stuff last week or so it just kind of turned me off from the whole thing.
Yeah. And, the Ric Flair stuff.
Well, not really the Ric Flair, just the booking, you know, like the Survivor Series and stuff, and on Raw and stuff like that. In the last week.
Yeah. You know, I thought that they were actually doing a good job. I thought they were doing a good job putting Reigns over, and then Sheamus came in, and he kicked out of the first bro kick, and I'm like, oh, they're going to do this right. They're going to put him over big time. He's going to kick Sheamus' ass and put a stop to it right now and be down in one, three matches on one night, and then he gets bro kicked again and gets pinned. And then they tell him to fucking cry?
I don't know, was he crying? I must not have seen it.
He looked like he was crying to me.
He was all red.
Fell off too early.
He was all red and he was sweaty. And the jury's still out whether he was crying or not, but you could tell he was frustrated. And the sweat pouring down his face and then his red face led you to believe that, in fact, he was crying. So I don't know.
I can't imagine they're going to have him lose again next month. I mean, that's a bit much.
Well, let's get into this. I mean, that's what we're talking about tonight. What would you do? Katrina, you go first.
What would I do?
I would not have put this what would you have done with the title situation?
First place.
I know a lot of people didn't
like the idea. I mean, because it was kind of like an obvious thing to do. Like maybe turn heel in that main event Survivor Series, I think that's what I would have done because I think maybe he needs another strong run as a heel to maybe become a bigger babyface in the future. You know.
Okay. Ed.
I would have him win at TLC, and I would do something where he still kind of goes heel and have the authority kind of help him beat Sheamus. They know Sheamus ain't going to do it. And then have Brock win the Royal Rumble and then do him and Brock at WrestleMania.
Okay.
Mainly because I just want to see Brock Lesnar fucking get in the Royal Rumble, kill people.
Right.
That's going to be my, that's how I'm going to work it out in my head no matter what. Who's champion? I just want Brock Lesnar in a goddamn Royal Rumble.
The thing is, if he wins the title like next month and then goes heel, it's like, well, why didn't you do this the month before?
And, yeah, that's true.
I would have done a turn on Ambrose in the finals. I think they could have done some good stuff together with Ambrose as a babyface and him as a heel. So
the only problem with turning Ambrose heel is he's really, really popular.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you put him back in there with Reigns. I think people are just going to – I think they're going to even boo him being Roman Reigns even more. I think the best thing they could have done, I'll give two scenarios. They could have put the title on Reigns and then, you know, tell the people, tough, he's your champ, you know, and just deal with all the backlash and all of the complaining and pissing and moaning. Or maybe he should have joined the Authority straight up, won the title in a mild heel manner, and then have Triple H come out and hug him. Something like that. But what they really, really should have done is, in my opinion, is put the title on Owens.
That would have been a bad idea.
What would have been the bad thing about putting the title on Owens and then Reigns giving chase for a couple months?
I'm at the point I'm tired of seeing Reigns chase. Am I the only one?
It's been going on for a bit. I'll give you that.
He's been chasing. He's failed and failed and, you know, it's to a point.
He's almost as bad as a right back.
The thing that drives me the most crazy is the guy's good in the ring.
Yeah.
And if you don't,
he's in with somebody better, you know.
Don't give him a script, he's pretty good. So, don't let him say succotash anymore.
Or the Roman Empire, and get rid of that fucking stupid fruit.
I blame the whole thing on Kane. This is what you get when you push pain, people.
Yeah.
Get your champion out for almost a year.
Speaking of, you know, and then he's going to wrestle Sheamus in a Tables, Ladders, and Chair match.
Yeah.
Sheamus is one of the reasons why everything sucks right now, because he killed Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's not hurt and waiting to be cleared. He's dead. They're just covering it up. Fucking Sheamus killed him and fucked everything up.
I think we would have heard about this.
Yeah. I think there might have been a blurb in the Observer, possibly.
So Cesaro's probably happy. He gets at home for a few months. Said, I'm getting out of this year for a while. No.
Oh, Lord. I watched that. I didn't watch all the pay-per-view. I still haven't gone back and watched all the pay-per-view because, quite honestly, I'm in the same boat as Cotrere. I'm really burned out on the product right now. It's nice because I don't have to review Raw anymore, and I'm just kind of, it's on, you know, I'll even watch it live. It's on, and I'm kind of half paying attention, and I'll see a match that I want to see. Okay, I'll watch this. I'll watch Neville and Owens and, you know, whatever. But I'm just burned out on the product. It's not clicking right now. And it's a shame because it's really the only game in town.
Really?
Yeah,
you got Pop TV, so you can start watching Impact again.
Yeah, that's true. I ain't gone.
I'm playing Bold and the Beautiful reruns and stuff like that.
Is that what's on there? I have no idea.
I think so. I think they got that kind of stuff on there. Like,
I remember
solo,
back
soap
in the
opera.
Day. Back in the day when it was a fucking, when there wasn't a billion cable channels, fucking the TV Guide network was fucking stuck right between, it's the HBO was 14, Showtime was 16, and the TV Guide channel was shit team. So I actually used to watch it back on the day just to see what the fuck was going, everything it was on, because it was just in the perfect spot and shit. But I haven't seen it, you know, since there's a billion channels now and it's been moved, and it's like, you know, I really don't watch too much TV. But, yeah, I used to actually watch it back when it was the TV Guide channel. Okay.
So, I
get through Raw in about an hour and a half these days. Because I won't start watching until like an hour in, so they mess up a whole hell of a lot of time.
Yeah, but it's not these days, because you've been saying that for like a very long time, actually.
Yeah, but even more so these days. Usually it takes me 2 hours.
Okay.
It's up all 30 minutes, so I can do some other stuff.
All right, and by next year it'll be down to an hour.
Yeah.
So. What did you think, since we're talking about you? Let's talk about the Reed Flair thing. What was your opinion of it, Couture?
I'm not bothered by stuff like that. I probably should be, but I'm not. It's just that kind of stuff. I just think that, how can nobody think this is bad? Does nobody see how this is a bad idea? You know?
Right.
I wouldn't do this stuff because, God, I'm going to get crucified. I wouldn't look this up. I'm going to get crucified the next day for it. I don't want people call me an asshole or, you know, a scumbag or something. I just don't understand. To throw poor Ashley Flair under the bus, hey, she come up with it, you know.
Yeah.
They don't tell Ric Flair. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed, but these Flairs, they're like really emotional people.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's like a news bulletin here, but Jesus
Christ. Is that why he cries all the time? I always wondered.
It's one of those things. It's not as bad as like the Eddie Guerrero stuff. Eddie Guerrero's in hell. You know, that shit was just horrible.
They're talking about a kid who had a heroin overdose. You know what I mean? And it only happened like 2 years ago. 2 years ago. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's just the way he died. Also, it's not like, you know. I don't know. That's like one of the things that bothered me, was just the fact that just the way he died, the way they essentialized the way he died. I mean, do you really want to bring up a guy who do you think Ric Flair really wants that publicized that big time, that his son died of a heroin overdose, let alone the fact that he died regardless?
Yeah, because it don't take but a couple clicks on a mouse and a Google search to figure out what's going on.
I didn't even really mind that she, like, at first brought his name up, because, you know, they're telling a story about how she's wrestling for her brother and stuff. I mean, that's all fine. But when you start saying that your brother had no fight left in him and stuff like this, just, oh, God. Just creepy.
Yeah, I mean, that was the part that was too. And then, like, the brawl was good.
Yeah, the brawl was good.
I mean,
just the subject matter was really just sleazy as hell, you know? And
yeah.
It may be, and I, you know, you'd think it, and the, you'd think it'd get you into the match, but then I watched the match, and it was just like, you know, this is kind of gross. I mean, this is kind of, you know, I just got no interest in it. Kind of killed the interest in the match, which was supposed to be the complete opposite of what they were going for.
Yeah. And it wasn't just like Flair that also got mad. The mom got mad on Twitter.
Oh, she did. Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. And it's funny because like the week before or 2 weeks before, fucking she went off on fucking Rover on Twitter. And then Rover all of a sudden backtracks and starts fucking saying how he likes Charlotte and all this shit. It was actually pretty funny. But yeah, the mom don't fuck around on Twitter if you're talking shit about the fucking family.
I think about a feud between Rover and Ashley Flair's mother on Twitter. That's just an oddball thing. I don't know.
It happened. I saw it.
When they did the angle, I was, again, half paying attention. And I start paying attention because that, you know, that caught my ear. Say, whoa, what are they bringing up here? What's going on? And at first I was like, okay, this is kind of dumb. Why would they bring this up? And didn't really think anything of it, to be honest with you. It just, it didn't move the needle. It was like, wow, they're pulling out all the stops to make people care about Charlotte. And then she started to cry. And it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like I'm acting crying. It was crying.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was real crying.
Yeah. Something struck a nerve with her, and she started to cry. And then it was like, oh, this is kind of twisted.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you bring this up? And I started thinking about it. I was like, this is really lowbrow. This is really cheap. This is cheap heat. You look up cheap heat in the dictionary, there's it says, see this angle.
There's a link to that segment.
Yeah. And so, first off, why did the match need an angle?
I mean, I thought the angle was they were friends and now they're enemies. There you go.
Yeah, it didn't. The girls don't need angles. The girls need to work long matches and let their talent shine. And they need to get out of these factions. They just need to let them work.
I did like seeing them at the end of the show, though, in the main event spot, you know, for the angle. But
that was the worst. And Dave and Brian hit it on the head. They didn't tell you this was the main event. They never once said that this is what you're going to see last on this show.
Yeah.
And I kept watching and watching and watching, and then it came on. I was like, are they going to do a match after this? I'm looking at the watch, and no, they're not doing a match after this. This is silly. And then they do the match, and it's fine, and I'm being nice. It wasn't anything special. And then somebody obviously got word that people were upset, and then they just drop it all together, and then they put all the heat back on Flair, saying that the angle is about Ric Flair and say nothing at all about Reed anymore. If they knew that was going to be the outcome, they knew people were going to get upset about this. They had to.
Oh, yeah.
They can't be that dumb.
When I was watching the segment, I was saying in my mind, you know, cue internet flip out in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. No,
exactly.
When I put the broad up, I said, okay, people are going to be mad about this shit tomorrow.
How could they not have known that people were going to lose their minds about bringing up Reed Flair, who died of a heroin overdose in Japan, correct?
No, he was just coming back from Japan.
I think they were in the Carolinas. He was with his dad at a hotel or something. Maybe
he thought he was going to bed, and I guess he called one of his old buddies, and that's when he had it happen.
And by the way, if they knew that people were going to lose their minds about it, right? Why didn't they just call Rick and say, hey, here's our idea?
You might have told him to fuck off.
Exactly. It's just the logic. This is a multi-million dollar company. They're gonna try to sell out Cowboys Stadium. These guys make the dumbest mistakes. I don't get it.
Yeah. I don't know. It has a lot to do with the whole ratings thing. You know, they've been lowest in years lately. So
that's
I don't know
on
if they
them.
Think, Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't think they... This is kind of stuff to turn people off, not on. Nobody wants to watch it. This kind of stuff, I don't... So...
I was just listening to Raven on Chris Jericho's podcast, which is very good, by the way. And Raven was talking about, you know, kind of the last days of WCW and how they were hot-shotting angles right and left, and they were trying to do everything for ratings. And they gave away things like Hogan and Goldberg. And they would run angles, then just hot-shot them one week, and it wouldn't work, and so they would cut it off the next week. WWE has been doing that for a year now, possibly 2 years. They're not getting the ratings. And people are burned out on the product.
And they look how they book everybody. Everybody loses. What a bunch of losers. I mean, everybody. Well, I mean, the people, they tell you who they want to see, and they don't do anything about it. You know, they think they're pushing guys, but they're like, a strange way of pushing people.
Those guys are running in place.
Yeah, like Tyler Breeze is already—he's already got a losing record. He's only been there a month.
Okay, he won last week. Now he gets to win. He lost last week. He gets to win
50-50.
This week.
He lost at the pay per view, and he lost on Raw, and he's losing on SmackDown.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, they don't have any stars. I mean, look at the active roster. The biggest star on the show the other night was The Undertaker, and he's not even a regular part of the show, really, anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody else is just a guy that, like, everybody's at the same level. And unfortunately, it's a low level. It's not a high level.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Shane was in the title, and he got beat in some geek match, like, earlier in the show. At least when, like, Seth Rollins lost and then cashed in, at least he lost an awesome match to Randy Orton, who's actually a star. So. Instead of, like, 3 years.
Yeah, it's just the only, like, good things on Raw, it seems like, are the New Day.
Mm-hmm.
And even they were
just like a joke, really. You know, it's hard to take them seriously.
Yeah, but they're entertaining at least.
Highly.
Yeah, that's fine. But, I mean, still, it's still me called geeks. Still, I can take seriously. That's just me, though.
You didn't like them, those unicorn fucking hobby horse things?
I like Tommy. I just think I first stuff I can take seriously in my wrestling.
Well, once again,
like Jimmy Valiant.
We review old Raws and Nitros, and Stone Cold has been in for a bit, and he's just a badass butt kicker. You know what I mean? That's his quote unquote gimmick. He's the man. That's his gimmick. He comes in, he kicks butt and takes names, and then he leaves. And it turned the whole company around. They don't have anybody like that, because if they did have somebody like that, they would end up, you know, giving him the 50-50 booking, and it would be done.
Yeah.
Stone Cold lost. But he did it in such a spectacular fashion. When he lost to Bret Hart, blood running down his face, he passes out after a grueling match. You don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of those retro Raws, you're going to get to see me make a guest appearance on a Raw right before the Royal Rumble.
Okay. In the crowd, I'm taking it.
No, it was, this is when they were still kind of taping Raw. Remember how, like, it wasn't always live? So they had this show that was taped, and what they did was, and it was right after the night after we had, like, a fucking ice storm, and they shut the city down. But they went to this club, and they had, like, a Raw party kind of a thing. They had Michael Hayes was there, Sonny was there, Shawn Michaels, of course. Road Dogg, and the, well, Rocky Maivia, wearing this purple suit, by the way. And basically they would do inserts, you know, before the commercials at the party, like it was live, even though, like, the party was live things, but the Raw was taped. And I guess they did, the announcers were, I don't know how they, I forgot how they did it, but there's the, they had a big boo-boo because The Rock was on Raw, but The Rock was also at the party, and how's The Rock going to be in two places? They never filmed The Rock. They always told Rock, stay over there, don't get on, and then they did it, they almost did it the whole show without showing The Rock, and at the very end, they show The Rock, and I think you hear Jerry Lawler, is that The Rock? And that was pretty funny. But I make like two appearances in the crowd there on that thing.
Awesome. It's funny because when they were filming those, they would do you know, four episodes in one city, and they would. Vince is going through this thing where he wanted live elements in the taped show. So they would do things like that. They would, like a couple of weeks ago, they had Brett sitting and watching a tape of Austin's match. Or they would go to some club and film these nutty wrestling fans and things like that. It was so weird why he had to have this quote-unquote live element while they were taping those shows.
Oh, they were getting nice with time. They were trying to do whatever they could, I guess.
Yeah.
They also did, like, that was also right around the time where they had Shotgun Saturday Night when it was, like, live at a nightclub. Because, like, I think that next week they went back to that. Back to the club where they had the Raw party was, like, two clubs. There was upstairs, which was, like, a normal club, and downstairs was just a country club. And they did Shotgun from the country club, and that's from Stone Cold through Terry Funk into, like, the beer trough. And,
the
horse trough.
Yeah.
Yeah, the horse trough.
Still not better than Abdullah doing that to Mitzi Hyde in that one match.
Yeah, well, and plus it was freezing when they did that, too.
She didn't know it was coming.
Yeah. Probably the highlight of Mitzi Hyde's career right there.
Yeah, the funny thing is, the funny thing is what made Raw good at that time was because they were getting killed. They were getting killed on the ratings.
Especially that 97 era. Just the 1997 era with the Raws and stuff like that was probably my favorite. Because they were doing anything. They let any fans bring in the signs they want, you know. Until they became popular again.
And anyone who says that the Stone Cold Brian Pillman Gunna angle was a horrible episode, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. That was one of the greatest Raws of all time.
I was sucked in.
I wouldn't have done it, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah. There was nothing good wrestling wise on that show.
But the main thing
was
the angle, and that was awesome though, so that's why I liked it.
I just love him beating the piss out of these poor guys outside the house. He threw a wagon in one guy's head and closed the car door on it. It was awesome.
Yeah. He kicked the crap out of those guys.
And they played it off like those guys were like Cincinnati Bengals and shit.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't outright say it, but they didn't say, you know, it's his football buddies, you know what I mean?
And it's all cheesy and shit, you know, the gun comes out and like then the static starts or something like that. You know, just when the gun gets pulled. And that's silly shit. But then Austin busts in the house and a bunch of guys grab him and he's yelling to Pillman, yelling, shoot me, shoot me, shoot me, son of a bitch. I think Les Thatcher was one of the guys pulling him out, off of him, pulling him out of the house in there.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was straight up publicity sound right there. What they were doing. And an F-bomb got dropped on TV.
Yeah, that was good. So what else was going on?
Well, Nick Bockwinkel died. We didn't talk about that.
Oh, yeah, that Yeah, like, that sucks. I mean, I saw a lot
this
of
this year's been horrible for like the real legends of the business, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, it is, but it's not as sad as, you know, having 5 30-year-olds die like normal, like it used to be.
Yeah,
these,
but I mean,
guys
still
are,
it's like a run of like one of the biggest stars of all time. They've died this year.
Yeah, just some like shit, you know, Dusty, Roddy, Nick Falkley, Tommy Gilbert just died too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I saw a lot of Nick Bonkwinkle because he comes to West all the time, and you know, we get to AWA on ESPN and stuff, and then the Aftermath always fucking talked about the AWA back in the early 80s and shit. So it was awesome. And then I seen that Hollywood Squares, I seen the Monkees, you know what I mean, that he was on.
Yeah.
So He was good. I mean, shit, when he was 50, he was a better worker than fucking all but maybe a couple guys in WWE right now.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the, like, as somebody that had gotten older, he was like, he just got better. You know,
he's in his mid-50s, and he's so fucking smooth with everything he does. It's like, everything looked fucking perfect. I mean,
mm-hmm.
That was, like I say, when he was in his 50s, you know what I mean? I wish I could have seen him when he was in his fucking mid to late 20s, early 30s, yeah.
I always loved when he cut promos. He was like, he would speak like so, he's been so well-spoken that I think people couldn't tell when they were being insulted by him because he spoke so well. You know?
Yeah, him and Bobby Heenan were awesome.
And he was like, even rooted. I always like say Ric Flair is the best world champion of all time, but I mean, he was like, if you're going to have somebody representing your company as the world champion, Mick Bockwood was one to have. And he dresses the part and he speaks well, you know. Not a moron.
He wasn't sleazy like Ric Flair. Ric Flair has a sleazy side to him.
Yeah, Ric Flair he's a nymphomaniac. He's a sex addict or something. Needs
yeah.
a little group.
Yeah. You never heard Nick Bonkwinkle say he was at the Marriott in Atlanta, Georgia. Did you ever see any Nick Bonkwinkle, Craig?
I saw just a little bit on, you know, on ESPN, you know, AWA, it used to come on. I think it was like Saturday afternoons it would come on here. And just a very, very little bit.
I would imagine you probably saw the 60-minute Curt Hennig match.
Maybe. It's not striking a nerve with me, so I honestly can't say that.
Yeah, that was his last great series of matches in his career. Make Curt Hennig.
Yeah, and as great as Mr. I mean, he became Mr. Perfect right after that, basically, but. As good as Mr. Perfect was, that late 50-year-old fucking Nick Bonkwinkle was a better worker and was better than Curt Hennig in those matches.
Yeah.
That's the amazing part.
Oh, and here's this other stupid thing from this Ric Flair business on Raw and stuff. They do this angle on a show where they do like two tributes, like to the people in Paris and Nick Bockwinkle got two deaths that they're mentioning, and then they're going to, like, you know, bring one over in an angle at the end of the show. I thought that was fucking idiotic. Two
well,
deaths on the
never,
show.
You know, they've always been idiotic, so it's
not
yeah, like
but
it's
I mean,
a surprise.
You mentioned, you know, you kind of show compassion for, like two things, you know, like a wrestling legend dies and they had horrible terrorist attack that you do like a 10-bell salute and, you know, got all the guys standing out there and you're going to do a death angle at the end of the show. So it's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, to get off wrestling for a little bit here, have you guys seen or checked out any Jessica Jones yet on Netflix?
I watched the whole thing.
Haven't had a chance to yet.
What did you think, Couture?
Oh, I liked it. I enjoyed it.
I thought it was fucking good. Brilliant. I thought it was all. They did such an awesome job with such a minor character from the comic books, and then they tie it in because, okay, they tied it in with Daredevil because they have the nurse come out. They have Luke Cage on, and the next series after this is Luke Cage, and then the next one after that is Iron Fist, who was in the comic books, Luke Cage's partner. They were like a team. Heroes for Hire is what they were. And then they're going to tie them all together and have the Defenders and have Daredevil, Cage, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones all together. It's actually awesome how Marvel ties everything in, but this one was so awesome because it was so fucking dark and intense, like when he was in the... And then I liked how they did it because, okay, the character is the bad guy. It was a joke in the comic book. He was a purple dude who had a cool power, but he was still a purple dude, looked stupid. And, you know, they found a pretty sleazy looking guy, kind of good looking, but sleazy looking guy. And instead of being purple, he wore purple suits, you know what I mean? Or purple shirt or purple pants. So I liked how they did that. But I thought that I was just amazed. I thought it was going to be okay because Daredevil was so good. I figured they'll do a good job here. But I thought this was actually even better overall than Daredevil, as far as, like, the story and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'd get on that, Craig. It was awesome. I mean, it's pretty... It's like some of the ways he'd have people kill themselves is pretty fucked up, man. It's pretty dark. I like it.
Yeah, I'll put it on the to-watch list. I haven't even got through any of Daredevil yet either, so...
I thought the girl who played Jessica Jones was perfectly cast. She's really good.
Yeah, because, you know, the Jessica Jones character is kind of a fuck-up, you know what I mean, in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like a failure. She's a failed superhero,
basically. Kind of like an alcoholic superhero.
Yeah. And then besides, you know, setting up the story, like I say, they're going to do the Iron Fist, Cage, and then the Defenders. But if they want, they also can incorporate I guess she was her adopted sister, because in the comic book, Trish Walker, whatever, was a superhero for a short bit. She was actually an Avenger for a very short run, called Hellcat. So, you know, if everything works out, they can always even throw an extra one and make one about her and stuff. So, they've really got their shit together as far as that.
Didn't Jessica Jones, like in the comics, didn't she and Luke Cage get married or something?
They were together. They were like off and on kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, she was a minor character for the most part. So, I mean, I know of her. I just couldn't, I can't tell you her about it. Like I can't everyone else. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Well, speaking
was great.
You know, the Marvel stuff, have you seen the Captain America trailer?
Yes.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome. And it totally surprised me because it's the opposite of what I was expecting. I was expecting Iron Man to be the asshole, kind of. You know what I mean? Or not the asshole, but to be the antagonist where he's actually, it's Captain America that's actually the protagonist.
I didn't know he was going to focus so much on Bucky. I thought it was going to be more about that superhero, like, registration or whatever, you know, story.
Yeah.
But I like it because it makes sense. You know, he spent years killing all these people. You know, there's got to be something. And Cap's his best friend, so. Although
yeah,
I thought it was weird when he said, in the trailer, he said, he's telling Tony he's sorry, but he's my friend. And Tony says, I thought I was your friend. I said, these two guys never really gotten along that much. I don't think they like working together, you know.
Well, they're friends, and that, you know, best friends.
Yeah. It was weird because they did a thing where they were kind of trying to rein in Captain America because he's seen as a vigilante. I said, has he seen any more vigilante than Iron Man or any of the other, you know, superheroes that's on there that they've had in these movies?
Yeah. But it looks good, and they're going to have the Black Panther's going to be on it, Ant-Man will be on it, and stuff.
Yeah, Spider-Man. Ant-Man was in the trailer, you just didn't see him.
Who was Spider-Man?
No, Ant-Man was in the trailer. He was just
tiny. You just you know, it's funny because you posted you just saw Ant-Man, and I actually just saw Ant-Man 2 like a day or two before you and stuff.
That movie is awesome. I love that movie.
It is cool.
That was one of the best ones. That's probably my second favorite. Next Age of Ultron, that's my favorite Marvel movie. I really enjoyed
Which
it.
One?
Next Age of Ultron.
Oh, yeah. I thought the first one was actually better than Age of Ultron. But on that, man, I didn't see it in the theaters because I usually go see the majority of them when they come out at the theaters. But I just was like, because I grew up with Hank Pym being Ant-Man and then, you know, having his wife be the Wasp. And to me, it's like, man, they're skipping over this whole thing and jumping to the second Ant-Man. But they did a really great job explaining everything and stuff. And then, you know, you don't get the big fucking spousal abuse storyline with him and the Wasp, but at least you get the Wasp, and then they set it up for, like, the daughter to take her place and stuff. But I thought they did a really good job explaining that, and it was really good. And it's cool because it's, you know, so many of them, like, the Winter Soldier was serious, Civil War is going to be serious. This one was more, like, lighthearted. So it's fun, and I thought the guy playing Ant-Man was great, and then the Mexican dude was awesome. He was fucking funny as shit. And,
I thought when they went to that warehouse, and he said, "This ain't no warehouse." And then the Falcon shows up. That was pretty awesome. And they
had a
fight.
Pretty cool. And they never showed anything of the Falcon in any of the previews, so it was kind of like a surprise.
Yeah.
Shit. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, Ant-Man was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Comes out
Tuesday. There was a scene where they were, it was him fighting the Hornet or whatever the other guy's name was. Yellow Jacket or something. Yeah. And, they, you know, they're small and they're like this train set's going. And then it's got that shot where the train goes right into the Yellow Jacket. But then it gets a wide shot and the train just like topples over like a toy.
Yep.
That made me laugh.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome, actually. Ant-Man, actually, Tim, okay, his first character was Ant-Man. And then he'd also played for a while, he was Giant-Man and Goliath. And he was also the first Yellow Jacket. And that's when he kind of started fucking up. And he did something to piss the Avengers off. And he needed to make it up and starts freaking out. And that's when he fucking... It was basically, the writer wrote a scene where he was going to push Janet or the Wasp, and the artist was in a hurry to get it done. I think he was behind, so he basically drew a picture of Hank fucking basically bitch slapping her, and then that's when like he was like one of the first, I don't know if it was him or Quicksilver, but either one of them was the first to like first Avenger to go heel, and not that he really like super heel, but he just, you know, he became a white beater, so they couldn't forgive him after that. It took like probably like decades for them to finally bring him back and stuff as a good guy. But yeah, that was basically what happened in the comic book.
I like how I know in these movies, all the Marvel films, like especially the last few, and like what you can see in like Batman and Superman. I like how all the heroes are finally being held accountable for all the shit they destroy. Like. Sounds like common sense, right?
Yeah, like on Jessica Jones, they would bring that shit up. But like, you know, Superman, he can destroy a city and no one gives a fuck. But, you know, the Avengers built the city years ago and they're still bringing it up on fucking like Jessica Jones and new shit and stuff. So it's like, it is, I do prefer Marvel. I always prefer the Marvel comic books and I prefer the Marvel movies. And I was thinking that maybe DC was taking over on the TV shows, but after seeing Daredevil and Jessica Jones, they're better than... Until I also started watching Green Arrow, but I think Daredevil and Jessica Jones just blow Arrow out of the water.
Oh, yeah, then they get a lot more darker, you know, more hardcore. But Arrow is a good show.
Yeah, I've seen the majority of the first season, but I stopped watching when Jessica Jones came out.
What's the Flash after that? That's pretty good, too.
Have y'all seen Narcos?
Yes, I've seen it.
No.
Have you seen that one, Craig? Okay, put that on your list also, Craig, because this Netflix makes the best goddamn TV shows. That's oh my god, they're so much better than all the other networks as far as TV shows. Because Narcos is
don't
fucking
take it
awesome.
They got to pay too much attention to the screen when the people speak Spanish. Because they do it in Spanish.
Did you guys give up on Gotham?
No, that's so awesome.
I
love Gotham.
I've actually never seen Gotham.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, especially. I like how they swerved us, and I think the guy was the Joker.
Yes.
When he wasn't, and he got killed.
Yeah. Tremendous.
It's been great to see, I've enjoyed it.
Yep.
What I liked about Narcos was how they got, actors to play the parts, but they got actors and they made them look like the characters, because when they would actually show the news footage, they would show the real news footage of, like, Pablo Escobar being interviewed or whatever and stuff. I thought that was cool. Like, the news footage of him, like, the guys got assassinated, and that shit was just, that was badass. Netflix is just, fuck, dude, they're the best thing going as far as fucking making shit, man, by far.
That damn Pablo, he just don't give a fuck. He go after you, don't give a shit who you
are. I mean, fuck, they killed the goddamn president. Fucking blew up a plane and killed a couple other dudes just like nothing, man. It's crazy.
You should also, you can check out if you want to watch Gotham. They got that up on Netflix too, the first season. So.
Oh, what, Gotham?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to watch Green Arrow and then probably The Flash, and then I'll probably get to Gotham.
So good.
I'm also waiting for the next Orange is the New Black. Hopefully that'll come out soon.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites too.
But you guys got anything else that you want to talk about as far as wrestling wise?
No, it sucks.
Yeah, I've gotten it off my chest. I think I'm good.
You guys want to talk about anything else, like other movies?
Like, no, I can't think of anything. Like what?
I'd bring up Star Wars, but I know Dazza would start freaking out and start.
Yeah, don't do that.
Because he's come so close so far.
That's why Ronda Rousey lost her fight. She won't go watch a fucking trailer. Too worried about Star Wars in her head. She's one of those stubborn motherfuckers who won't go watch a trailer because they don't want to see anything in Star Wars, so fucks with her mind and she got knocked the fuck out.
That's a take I hadn't thought of.
Well, I read the interview with her where she was avoiding even seeing any trailers or any footage from Star Wars. But I don't know, because that new trailer is like the funnest part to me, you know?
Especially because they're not giving you anything. They're just giving you, like, flashes. They're not giving, like, I hate most trailers because they always give you the main theme.
Yeah, but they're still giving you great stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've watched these trailers. I ain't gonna lie, I've watched the Star Wars trailers probably 100 times. So I like going on there and seeing when two people react to watching the trailer for the first time. Just because I like watching people get excited about shit, about cool stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Has your mom got into the Red Wedding yet?
No, she hasn't even. I'm getting her a Roku for Christmas so she can get the HBO channel. So I haven't even got that far yet. So. But I am going to film her reaction and put it up on my Facebook when it happens. You watch Game of Thrones, Craig? Have you ever watched that?
I'm sorry?
Have you ever watched Game of Thrones?
No, I never have.
It's another thing you need to get on. You need to get on this TV. You know, you need to let the family do their own thing. They don't want to talk to you anyway, Craig. I'm sure you annoy them, so just catch up on all the good TV shows.
Yeah, that's probably it.
I'm actually excited because this next year, I don't know why, but Time Warner is going to give us HBO and Showtime for free, so I don't have to worry about finding a download or looking for Games of Thrones and doing all the hassle. Finding I could just watch it on fucking HBO. It's going to be awesome. Speaking of that,
I just got the Go ahead.
I was going to say, I believe it or not, the other week, I actually bought my first high-definition TV, believe it or not.
Wow. Welcome to the 20th century.
Yeah, I'm a little behind, but now it's like, how did I never buy one of these before? I bought like a 70-inch or so. It's pretty awesome. And then it's, you know, you can check on Netflix and all the other shit on it, so. I've actually gotten back to watching more TV than I had the last couple of years. But anyway, I guess we've run out of shit to talk about, so I guess we can go ahead and end the show. So, fuck, dude. It was just Thanksgiving yesterday. What did you do for Thanksgiving, Craig?
Like I said, I had to work today, so it was pretty low-key. I was in bed by 9 o'clock, but went to the in-laws, ate, went to my mom's, ate again. Yeah, it was good. First day I've had off in 3 weeks.
Did you eat anything different or just the basic turkey stuffing, mashed potatoes, stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, just the basics. My mom tried the fancy stuff up, but yeah.
No turducken?
No, nothing crazy like that, no.
Are you Kachara, would you do cook a Hungry Man turkey dinner?
A Hungry Man turkey, what would I do that? I got family. They care about me. I go to places. I eat turkey.
There you go.
So did you eat anything out of the ordinary or just the basics?
Just the basic stuff. Same thing he did.
Do you guys do the green bean casserole?
Oh, yeah.
I love green bean
love
casserole.
It.
Yeah,
love it, love
that's
it,
actually one of my favorites is the green bean casserole.
Except
one year, my mom, instead of buying the cream of mushroom, my mom bought cream of peas, and she didn't want to go back to the store, so she didn't tell us, and then she kept pushing the green beans, and I started eating them. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? These are horrible. And she wouldn't admit it. She wouldn't admit it. And it was like years later, I found out she put freaking cream of peas in them and shit. Almost ruined me.
You just have to have cream mushroom in your house. I thought it just came with the house. Like cans of cream mushroom. You know, it's always there.
Unfortunately, I guess they put the cream of peas right next to the cream of mushrooms and she didn't have her glasses on.
I like cream of peas. I just wouldn't make a casserole with it.
Yeah. Mom ruined Thanksgiving that time.
I actually remembered something that I was going to ask you guys about, since you're, you know, Southern and such.
Where do you get that idea?
Just a hunch. My father-in-law is from Indiana, and my dad was originally from Ohio, and I don't know how this happened, but my dad, all the time I was growing up, he used to make oyster dressing.
Yes, I have that.
Okay, and then my father-in-law from Indiana also loves the oyster dressing. Is that an Eastern thing or a Southern thing?
That's an Eastern thing. Yeah,
My grandmother just always fixed it every year on Thanksgiving.
Love it. Maybe it's a white thing because I know oyster dressing. I mean, I love oysters.
Yeah.
I love fried oysters. I could eat a billion fried oysters, but oyster
dressing,
I've never...
Mixed up in the stuffing. It's good.
Yeah.
Do they sell it at the stores?
No. You have to homemade this.
You have to make it? My mom's not a good cook, so I don't know if she can handle oyster dressing. How many pies did y'all have? Because at one point, we had 5 freaking pies here.
Yeah.
I have diabetes, Mom. I think my mom's trying to kill me or something. She left me a freaking apple, a cherry, and a pecan.
Oof. Love the pecan.
And I can't just get one piece. I mean, it's not fair to the other pies, so I have to get one of each. You know, it's like, I seriously think she's trying to kill me.
I've never liked pie. I'm not a pie eater.
I like pies, but it's not something I eat a lot of. You know what I like? I like McDonald's, like apple pies. They're not that great anymore, but they used to deep fry them. But like churches, they deep fry their apple pies. Those are pretty good. Or Popeyes. I like those kind of pies. Also like poon bang pie, but you know, who doesn't?
That's true. Yeah.
But I guess we can go ahead and end the show. I'm sure Craig is letting that the bits to go.
And ready for pie. Dinner, yeah.
I'm surprised he showed up, to be honest with you.
But we'll be back next week, and we will talk to everybody then.
We got no plugs?
Oh, fuck. Shit, I forgot about the plug. It's been so long since we've done a show, I forgot about the plug. Everyone should get on HearingMarks.com. Well, shit, I forgot to put y'all's name on the description. You want me to remember plugs? So everyone check out angrymarks.com. I bet Stevie J was listening to the show. God damn it, they're not plugging. Alright, well, settle down, Stevie. Everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can download and stream our show at angrymarks.com along with a lot of other shows. And you can get us at iTunes at keyword Angry Marks. You can also download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Cutraire. And you can also get older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo. And you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio. And we have a F4W WrestleMania Facebook page. Unfortunately, goddamn fucking Facebook had to complicate everything. And it's kind of a private page, so contact somebody who's already going, and they can invite you, and then you can join the page. And I'm sorry for the hassle, but it's not my fault. It's all Facebook.
You can go to youtube.com/Cutraire. I got a channel there with a bunch of playlists with wrestling videos I just put together this past week. I got 37 episodes of Pro Wrestling This Week with Gordon Solie and Joe Pedicino from like the mid '80s. Where they cover all the wrestling federations every week, and so it's pretty fun. If you've never seen that, you gotta go check it out.
You can also see the world class Thanksgiving show from '83.
I believe so.
Yeah, I just saw that the other day. That was pretty good.
I got the Cotton Bowl. I got the Cotton Bowl show. I got a bunch of them on there. There's the Star Wars shows.
Yeah. You know what? I just noticed Craig fucking jumped the gun and hung up before the plugs.
I know.
I guess he was hungry after all. Everyone, you can follow Craig at Twitter at Proper Jam. It's actually Proper Jam, but it's spelled Proper Jam, so you can follow Craig there. So, we'll talk to everybody next week.
The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting through the earth from only 2,000 feet in the air. The third. No parachutes yet.
Happy skydivers. I can't tell just yet what they are, but...
Oh, my God, they're talking! Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of us.
Running around pushing each other? Oh my goodness! Oh, the humanity! Oh, people are running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this any longer.
Children are searching for their mothers, and not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this. I don't know how much longer I can hold my position here, Johnny. The crowd.
Are you there? Les isn't there. Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Les. Those who just tuned in, the Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkeys. Film at 11.
okay? I don't know. A man and his two children tried to kill me. After the turkeys hit the pavement, the crowd kind of scattered, but some of them tried to attack me. I had to jam myself into a phone booth. Then Mr. Carlson had the helicopter land in the middle of the parking lot. I guess he thought he could save the day by turning the rest of the turkeys loose. It's pretty strange after that.
Strange. Yeah, right. No, no, Les, come on now, tell us the rest.
I really don't know how to describe it. It was like the turkeys mounted a counterattack. It was almost as if they were organized. As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.